De Ganawida laid out the new alliance's rules of operation in the Haudenosaunee Constitution, the Great Law of Peace. When issues came up before the alliance, the Totodaho would summon the 50 sachems who represented the clans of the five nations. Different nations had different numbers of sachems, but the inequality meant little because all decisions had to be unanimous. The five nations regarded consensus as a social ideal. As in all consensus-driven bodies, though, members felt intense pressure not to impede progress with frivolous objections. The heads of clans, who were all female, chose the sachems, all male. As a rule, sachems were succeeded by their nephews, but the system was not entirely hereditary. Sachems could be impeached if they displeased their clan, and if their nephews were not deemed fit for office, someone outside the family could take over. Striking to the contemporary eye, the 117 codicils of the Great Law were concerned as much with establishing the limits on the Great Council's powers as on granting them. Its jurisdiction was strictly limited to relations among the nations and outside groups. Internal affairs were the province of the individual nations. Although the Council negotiated peace treaties, it could not declare war. That was left to the initiative of the leaders of each of Haudenosaunee's constituent nations. According to the Great Law, when the Council of Sachems was deciding upon an especially important matter or a great emergency, its members had to submit the matter to the decision of their people in a kind of referendum. In this respect, the League was just the most formal expression of a region-wide tradition. The sachems of Indian groups on the eastern seaboard were absolute monarchs in theory. In practice, wrote colonial leader Roger Williams, they will not conclude of aught unto which the people are averse. The League was predicated, in short, on the consent of the governed, without which the entire enterprise would collapse. Compared to the despotic societies that were the norm in Europe and Asia, Haudenosaunee was a libertarian dream. In the same sense, it was also a feminist dream. The five nations were largely governed internally by the female clan heads, and the Great Law explicitly ordered council members to heed the warnings of your women relatives. Failure to do so would lead to their removal. The equality granted to women was not the kind envisioned by contemporary Western feminists. Men and women were not treated as equivalent. Rather, the sexes were assigned to two separate social domains, neither subordinate to the other. No woman could be a war chief. No man could lead a clan. As in any separate but equal regime, the two sides were not truly equal. Women had the worst of it. Still, the women of the five nations were so much better off than their counterparts in Europe that 19th-century U.S. feminists like Lucretia Mott, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Matilda Joslyn Gage, all of whom lived in Haudenosaunee country, drew inspiration from their lot. According to Haudenosaunee tradition, the alliance was founded centuries before Europeans arrived. Non-Indian researchers long treated this claim to antiquity with skepticism. The League, in their view, was inherently fragile and fossiferous. It simply could not have lasted that long. And there was little archaeological evidence that the League had existed for many centuries. But both traditional lore and contemporary astronomical calculations suggest that Haudenosaunee dates back to between 1090 and 1150 AD. The former date was calculated by Seneca historian Paula Underwood, who based her estimate on the tally of generations in oral records. The latter came from astronomer Barbara Mann and historian Jerry Fields of Toledo University in Ohio. The five nations recorded the succession of council members with a combination of pegs and carved images on long wooden cylinders called condolence canes. Iroquois pictographs could convey sophisticated ideas, but functioned more as a mnemonic aid than a true writing system. The symbols were not conventionalized, that is, one person could not easily read a document composed by another.